You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zummers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are downtown Madison, Wisconsin, at the world headquarters. Beautiful, partly sunny day, Mr. Zummers. I'm very excited about this hour and about our next guest. You know,
well, me too.
I know. Very, very excited indeed. Coming up a little bit later this hour, a What's Worse edition for you. Your chance to call in and voice your concerns on the nonsensical. But right now we have serious business to do and also some fun as well. He has been on our program before when he was kind enough to be our host in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin. Back for me, back in the home part of the state of the Driftless area, the CEO and president of Wonder State Coffee, which is the 2025 Roaster of the Year, Mr. TJ Samanchin, joins us via StreamYard. TJ, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Todd?
I am fantastic because for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, people know how much I enjoy Wonder State Coffee. And look what they got me for my birthday this year. A beautiful mug here with the Wonder State logo on it. It is filled with Agua Blanca from Colombia. That's one of my favorites. I buy that a lot. And then this is a love-hate thing, TJ, because their cafe on the square, they sell these amazing, addictive crack. No, it's not crack. It is the salted chocolate chunk cookie, which I cannot get enough of.
Wow. You're getting the full effect there in the studio. That's great.
It really is. So thank you for gearing me up and getting me ready for the show today. Let's just start off a little bit. For those that might not have heard our previous shows, tell us a little bit about Wonder State Coffee, how it came about, and where it's located.
So we are on our 20th year here in Viroqua. So as you mentioned, we're right in the heart of the Driftless region, close to your hometown. Mm-hmm. And for our first 10 years in business, we were just a wholesale roastery. So we import coffee from around the world, from Africa, Central and South America, directly from small farmers. We're really rooted in supporting farmers. That's at the core of our mission. And the other side of our mission is providing extremely high quality coffee. So that's what we've been doing since 2005. And then in 2015, we opened our first retail location, our first cafe. And we now have three cafes, one right on the Capitol Square in Madison, our flagship store. And then we have one here in our hometown of Viroqua and one up on the shores of Lake Superior in Bayfield, beautiful Bayfield. So we have three cafes now around the state. We sell online. We sell to local and national chains in the upper Midwest. We sell to independent coffee shops. We have some corporate campuses around Madison, some of the larger corporate campuses where the employees can enjoy our coffee at work. We're around the state, around the upper Midwest, and then we sell quite a bit on our website nationally as well.
Yeah, and one of the great things I love about Wonder State is your respect for the farmer. And, you know, I had a stint in coffee. I was honored to have friends in El Salvador. And I talked about that last segment, more the political term. I never thought that my knowledge of El Salvador and the politics of El Salvador would come into play on a show like this, but it has. That's where we're at. But I've spent a lot of time there. And, you know, I was very fortunate because TJ knows this, but if you're in the coffee industry, they talk about, oh, you know, someday you'll get to go to origin, meaning where the coffee is grown. And I was kind of fortunate enough to start my coffee experience there and learn from it. Talk a little bit about at Wonder State Coffee, what that means. Do you visit and talk with farmers and that relationship and why that matters?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of got my start in coffee a similar way. I was living in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
And so I was studying issues around sustainable development, and just rural issues in Latin America. Mm. And so I was just living in the coffee lands and got to see firsthand the model of a small farmer coffee cooperative. The town I lived in, there was in Atenas, Costa Rica, there was Co-op Atenas, which was a coffee farmer cooperative. And so this was, you know, small farmers who own their land, who own their cooperative, and own their product all the way to the final destination, and the empowerment that brings for rural farmers in Latin America. That, you know, the contrary to that, we studied, you know, that, and then the flip side was kind of bananas. And we, you know, for those who know the history of banana republics and just how, like, banana in large multinational corporations have kind of, you know, they control the land, they control the shipping, they control, back in the day, they controlled the country, right? They planted their politicians, right? So they owned all segments of society. And whereas, you know, these democratically controlled coffee cooperatives really empower small farmers, and they keep those farmers on their land. They you know, empower them. They give them a good return on their product. So those are the farmers that we're really committed to supporting. And, you know, in a lot of countries, and you probably have seen this in El Salvador, even in the coffee sector, there is really intense poverty, that there has been a lot of exploitation of coffee farmers, coffee, you know, the workers, the laborers who work on the farms. And that has been, you know, remnants of colonial power structures that persist till today. So part of, you know, what we work towards is balancing out those power structures, making sure farmers are getting their fair shake. We work directly with them. We travel constantly. Nick, our director of coffee, was just down in Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, visiting with the farmers, setting up the terms for next year's harvest. You know, our hopes and their hopes, and sharing, you know, what we're all trying to get out of this mutually beneficial trade. And we have these relationships for years and years. So yeah, at the core of our business is really those relationships with the farmers and our commitment to them.
I could talk coffee for 2 hours with TJ here. We're talking to TJ Simanchin, president and CEO of Wonder State Coffee in Wisconsin. But just one more, and then we'll kind of move on to the tariffs and USAID type of things. But just again, to put a fine point on this, TJ, because, you know, having we tried to do something similar to what in our little coffee business, what you guys have done very successfully at Wonder State, which was to put the emphasis on the farmer. And ultimately, for the reasons you just stated and more, that requires that you probably are going to have to charge more than, say, hey, a Folgers or whatever. And I'm not here to hate on anybody, but I think it's important for you just to talk a little bit about, there are different levels of coffee, and if you buy low quality coffee, it can taste like crap, especially if it's prepared poorly. But if you buy higher quality coffee, which is oftentimes found in higher elevations in more rural areas, to your point, where the producer doesn't even have a car or truck to get their lot to market on the coast. And so what happens is, and I'll just pick on the big one, and not to say that there aren't good things about it in some ways, but you have a Starbucks who will go up way up on the mountain and give that farmer the lowest price for the highest quality of coffee. And so then you have things like Cup of Excellence who allow farmers to have their really good coffee exposed to more buyers, and that gives the power back to the farmer. And so that's why it's important, in my opinion, to buy coffee at a couple of bucks higher from people like Wonder State, because ultimately you're empowering the farmer. Am I wrong about that?
You stated it perfectly. Yeah. You're gonna be our spokesman. That was perfect. So how critical it is to, you know, our part of our vision is we love good coffee. You know, we are we just love tasting things. We love the enjoyment of it, the morning cup, and have it be elevated, really treating it as a specialty beverage.
Yes.
You know, that folks get this, right? Like, we know that sometimes you buy a $10 bottle of wine and sometimes a $30. or you buy your microbrewery, you know, brewed beer, and right, that these come with an additional cost because they're higher quality, right? And coffee is in that same realm as a specialty beverage, you know, that it can be elevated. It could be an elevated experience, something that there's just really amazing nuanced flavors in the cup. And to pull that off, the farmers have to work a lot harder and be really intentional. And so we want to be right there with those farmers, especially those farmers who historically haven't had access to the market, haven't had access to the techniques and the post-harvest processing that results in this high quality. We want to work with them and build their capacity so they can keep getting a higher and higher price for their product and keep improving the livelihoods of their families. That's really at the core of this, is, you know, trying to support farmers who are, you know, just trying to improve their lives.
About 2.5 minutes left before our first break, TJ. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, we look at what's happening with the Trump tariffs, and you think, well, that's happening in other places. Tell folks a little bit how this is affecting people in the Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin, particularly folks like yourselves at Wonder State who deal with commodities.
Yeah. So, I mean, wow, it's really brutal. It's brutal. I mean, what's happening for small businesses? I mean, these tariffs are directly hitting us, right? This is who pays for it. It's the businesses who are buying these products from, I mean, literally, I am the guy who pays the tariff. Right. I mean, it is a direct increased cost of business. It's a tax. It's across the board. All of our coffee right now, you know, 2 weeks ago is between 10 and 28% with the reciprocal tariffs. But right now, all of our coffee is going to get hit with a 10% tariff tax.
Wow.
That's just a boom, unexpected increased cost of business. Mm-hmm. I need to go out and find financing for that. I have to pay for that tariff upfront before we sell it to the end consumer, right? I got to come up with that cash. And so that's a scenario of, you know, us who we, our whole product line is from something that we import, something that cannot be grown in any volume in the United States. Between Hawaii and Puerto Rico, the US produces like less than a half of a percent of the world's production. Yeah. There's no way to replace coffee domestically, right? Yeah, it is a product that grows in the tropics, and we have to import it. And so, you know, that's a heavy hit for us. But, you know, I have been hearing stories of other small businesses who are just mom and pop shops who came up with a good idea and they brought a product to market. And where was that only place in the world that product could be produced at a lower volume is China.
Yeah.
Right. And they've set up a relationship with a manufacturer in China. Right. But these are U.S. businesses, U.S. families who are just facing a decimatingly high level of tariffs.
We're talking to TJ Simanchin of Wonder State Coffee. We'll come back and continue our conversation. If you have a question, give us a call at 855-752-4842. As they said one time on SNL, it's coffee talk. Come on back. No big whoop.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. They have coffee in Brazil. They also have coffee in Viroqua and in Bayfield and in Madison, other places as well. We can get it at Wonder State Coffee. The president and CEO of the company, TJ Simanchin, is our guest this half hour. TJ, great to have you along. We were geeking out about coffee over the break. I mean, it's just, I think when you talk to somebody else who gets coffee, it's just like you can go on and on because, and people who haven't had the privilege to be in that position, it's like, what do you get so excited about coffee for? It's like, because it's so cool.
Right. Although, who doesn't? I mean, we all like 70-some percent of Americans drink coffee daily. Mm-hmm. So once we get on this topic, I think we're actually in good company. I think people love talking about coffee.
No, they do.
It's a common denominator. You know, we all enjoy it.
Yeah, it really is. TJ and Wonder State are part of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin, talking a little bit about tariffs. I want to talk about some of the things in the USAID as well, but did I miss anything, TJ? Is there anything that you want to pass on to folks, either about the coffee industry or about small mom-and-pop businesses in general in Wisconsin on tariffs?
Yeah, I'm really, really concerned about a lot of our fellow small businesses. I think we're going to see if this continues, and again, it's changes day by day. So you don't know, you know, what the administration is going to do, but if it continues right now, we're going to see businesses just go under without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Small businesses are not going to be able who are dependent on imports and are being required to pay these tariffs up front, they're not going to have the cash, and this is going to put them under. So I'm really, really concerned about that.
And we talked about this when we were up in Viroqua at your cafe up there. I mean, Wonder State's a kind of place. I mean, you're providing health care. You're providing some of these benefits to your employees in small towns and large all across Wisconsin. We hear people say, well, we want employers to take care of our employees. Here's a place in Wonder State that's doing that. So now you're doing that, but now you're also having to pay for this tariff, and you have to make tough choices about how you're going to treat your employees. Ultimately, this is going to get passed on to the consumer if people want the companies to keep taking care of their employees.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we can't bear, you know, just a 10% increase on, and we're also, I want to be clear too, we're in a moment where at historically high coffee prices.
Yes.
So this is a multiplier effect of something that has already really hit our industry. We just increased prices. We had to. And this, you know, in a way, this is a win for the farmers.
Right.
That music piece in the break, a lot of coffee in Brazil. Yeah. Well, for the past few years, largely because of climate disruptions, there hasn't been as much coffee in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And that has caused a supply crunch. So the commodity market for coffee is at historic highs.
Right.
So these tariffs are coming on top of that. You know, the market was below $2 a pound. This is commodity, commercial grade coffee, below $2 a pound. And it just peaked over $4. So the tariff is hitting us at 10%, right? If it was at $2, that's a 20-cent per pound tariff. Now it's a 40-cent per pound. I mean, so this is just terrible timing.
And we don't have time to necessarily get all into this, but just yes or not, more than yes or no, but make sure I'm correct. Everything you just said, and then put on to that climate change where some of the coffee in some of these places is developing something called coffee rust, and they're having to go to higher altitudes and in some cases relocate farms. And that also is driving up prices, right?
Exactly. It's just harder for farmers to grow coffee for a lot of reasons. Climate change is the driving, but there's also political instability. You mentioned things like USAID, you know, farmers need support in getting their product to market. They need the infrastructure, they need the marketing, you know, and so you need the institutions that can support these farmers in doing that. So it's just getting harder and harder by the day. And that's putting a downward pressure on supply.
About 3.5 minutes left, TJ. Talk about what you just said. USAID, we hear a lot about the tariffs, what's going on there. Talk about the impact that the Trump administration's cuts and basically getting rid of USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development, what that is doing to the coffee industry and around the world.
Yeah, this is such a short-sighted policy. It is so brutal, and to be doing it so fast and furious. So USAID, I honestly don't know of a farmer that we work with that has not in some way benefited from USAID support. And that could be support with technical assistance in the field, support with marketing. USAID has taken coffee professionals and hooked them up with up-and-coming producer groups to help them draw that link of how to market to their coffee to the international market. And these are not huge spends. These are low, you know, this is a couple plane ticket kind of things for professionals to come and share their expertise with farmers that are working hard, try bringing their product to market. And these are in areas of the world that are politically unstable. This is, we're talking about the DRC in Africa and Ethiopia, Colombia, Southern Mexico, places where if there's not stable options for farmers, this is where they get pushed into narco trafficking. Yeah. This is where they get pushed into extremist groups, jihadist groups, potentially in Africa. These are the places where, as the social fabric kind of falls apart, these you know, bad actors can come and prey on them. And I see it. I see it in Colombia. When prices are down, I see that farmers rip out their coffee trees and they put in coca. And as soon as they do that, you're bringing in the bad actors. Those communities then have guns, they have violence, they have all the things that that brings with it. So USAID has provided a platform for stability. It has provided a platform for companies like us to find those farmers and to buy from them. It's not charity. This is just infrastructure support. And this is as critical as like building a road from your port so that you can get your product out, right? I mean, these are, you know, things that we take for granted, that we you know, we have a lot of support here in the US for this, but in other countries, you know, small rural farmers don't have access and no know-how of how to get their product to the international market.
TJ, as I mentioned, Water State Coffee, I cannot thank you enough for taking time for us. Very educational. On the bottom of each bag of Water State Coffee, it says, stay curious. Which I think is exactly where we need to be right now as a country. And if you want to buy a product that is curious, but also has a social conscience and just is the best coffee around, for my money, Wonder State.
Appreciate it, Todd.
Hey, yeah, appreciate you. Thank you, TJ. Thank you very much from Main Street Alliance. Come on back. We'll do a little What's the Worst next on the All Balls Show on Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, even to a coffee cup, and having fun doing it. See, that was a part of the fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media, 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Just think, Zomers, a week from tomorrow, we'll just be getting ready for the show.
You're right. Well, I hope we're more than just starting to get ready at this time. But
well, let's be honest. It might just be starting to get ready.
Yeah, probably.
No, if you haven't heard, we're moving. Moving a couple hours to 2 o'clock, starting next Wednesday. So starting next Wednesday, you can hear us every afternoon from 2 until 4. And the reason is because Zomers and I need more sleep.
I did. We didn't plan this, but I did yawn right as he was saying that. I didn't know that's what he was going
to
say.
Yeah, exactly. Many thanks to TJ Samantian from Wonder State Coffee. How about that guy? Fantastic.
Really, yes, fantastic. Absolutely.
One of our listeners, where is it from again? I'm sorry. Deerfield, beautiful Deerfield, Wisconsin. Larry in Deerfield says, hi, Todd. What Wonder State coffee beans do you recommend? I'm planning on ordering. Look, I'll simply say, just since you asked, what's in my cup, and normally what I have, I buy a whole bean, and I have the Agua Blanca from Colombia. Colombian coffee. And what's the cool thing is, and other places do this as well, higher end coffee roasters, but a Wonder State, they'll give you like what notes each coffee, just like wine. Because if you buy high end coffee, as TJ was saying, each one has a unique flavor profile. And just like you have people, was it Salmonnet or whatever the, for the wine taster?
Sommelier.
That's it. We're not that fancy back where I'm from, but yes, sommelier. There's 160 some different flavors, profiles in wine. Exact same thing in coffee, but 162 different natural flavors in coffee. The reason people that say, well, I never tasted that, is because a lot of places will buy low-end coffee that naturally tastes bad, and to cover that up, they burn the coffee. And when you burn coffee, when you roast it, whole bean, it turns that really dark, shiny color. But through really great marketing, coffee companies have convinced the consumer, oh, If it's dark and shiny, it has lots of caffeine in it, and it will make you wired. And so they come up with great marketing gimmicks. If you see coffee that's shiny, it looks oily and like dark, that is bad, over-roasted, burnt coffee. And it's going to taste bitter, and it's going to taste like charcoal, because that's basically what they've done to it. Properly roasted coffee is going to have a matte finish on it. It's going to look brown, all right? Brown and a matte finish. And then if you properly grind it and then properly prepare it, here's a little tip for home coffee roasters. Water. Because guess what? Coffee in your cup is 98% water. So either use like a zero water or whatever, or bottled water or something like that. Don't use tap water when you make coffee at home.
That's huge. That was one thing. Yeah. When I worked at Starbucks, they really emphasized, we have, I don't remember how many times, like 5 times filtered water or something, to have super clear water to make their coffee, because that's what most of it is.
Right. So water is very important. But then buy from roasters that do it right like that. And so if you buy coffee like that and prepare it properly and you kind of train your palate, you can sometimes taste a fruit flavor, whether it's nectarine or raspberry or other flavors, brown sugar, straw, on and on, brown, you know, all these natural flavors in coffee. And so just like you have a sommelier in wine, in coffee, it's called a Q-cupper. And don't ask me why, but it's called a Q-cupper. And you go through all this training and you have to have somewhat of a natural palate, just like in wine. And these people will sip up competitions and they sip the coffee. And you say, well, how can they sip all that coffee? There's a spittoon next to them. And they have it on a tablespoon or a teaspoon, and they put it up to their lips and they suck it in because they want the air and the coffee to hit all their taste buds. And so it sounds like birds. They go, psh, psh, psh. And they suck it in, they swirl around, and they spit it out. They don't actually drink all that coffee. And so that's how you grade coffee properly, and you come up with the different notes and things like that. So there's everything and more you ever wanted to know about coffee. Larry in Deerfield says, my daughter uses a conical grinder. Is that what you mean by proper grinder? Yeah, it's a burr grinder. So that means that it looks like gears inside the grinder. I used to tell people you can use like a general like spice grinder with one blade that just goes around. Hey, that's better than nothing. But yes, a conical burr grinder has three different gears, it looks like, that grind the coffee, and you can set it and adjust it. So, you know, we can geek out on coffee. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to L.A. Tom quickly. We got to get to what's worse. L.A., what do you got for us?
Well, I just want to say that what a great education about coffee, and also I think just small mom and pop businesses, not the big corporations that call themselves small businesses. But I wanted to report that 12,500 people in Idaho showed up last night for AOC and Bernie's oligarchy, Fight the Oligarchy tour. Mm-hmm. And I'd really recommend to anyone, if you have the Midas touch or just check it out online, check out her speech. Her voice is really becoming her voice now, and it's pretty exciting. So I hope everyone checks it out.
Thanks, L.A. Appreciate you checking in. Have a great day out there on the beautiful West Coast. Chris, our own Chris Casper, one of our great engineers, checking in on YouTube, saying, I like non-shiny beans. Same with me, Casper. Ethiopian is his favorite. Very close second are all these Central American coffees. Yeah, very close. I would probably, just my personal bias, I'd probably reverse that. I'm probably more into more fruit-flavored, slightly sweeter, slightly less acidic Central American, but there's a lot of great Ethiopian coffees. We were talking to TJ during the break, another great roaster, not in Wisconsin, but out in Los Angeles, Blue Bottle. And one time I got an Ethiopian from Blue Bottle and did a pour over, and you would swear that somebody had taken a teaspoon of strawberry jam and mixed it around. It was that, even a person, I'm not a Q-cupper I'm not certified to grade coffee, but even somebody like me, I'd be, whoa, it's like that, That is amazing. And that was Ethiopian. So very good. 855-752-4842. Quickly, Mark in Prayer to Sack. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, getting back to the whole Trump thing, that a quote from the Declaration of Independence, I think, has applied to Trump now for a long reason, that our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just appalled at the fact that the Republicans en masse, you know, as most of the Democrats have been not condemning mm-hmm. Donald Trump's comment about, I don't give FCC noncompliant word inserted here, uh-huh. that he could round up American citizens and ship them to El Salvador and probably without trial and all that, and they're not actually just coming out and condemning that. If Biden would have operated in that fashion, you know, that's taking these powers that Trump has assumed that he has, you know, Donald Trump's ass would be, you know, in some very unpleasant place, like perhaps duplicating the cell of little E's in the Tower of London.
Yeah, it's a great part, great point, Mark. I appreciate you calling a couple of segments back, but yeah, that White House meeting yesterday with Kelly, that was of all the meetings, that was one of them. All right, 43 minutes past the hour, time for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money to give away, nothing involved in terms of monetary benefit, but it is your chance to hear your voice heard across all 11 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Network. Largest privately owned network in the state of Wisconsin. No better chance and no better way to have your business heard than advertising here on Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us to find out how. All right, this is a timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because I'm not sure. Good gosh, Albert's got the hiccups. That's what I get for eating a salted chocolate junk cookie on the air.
But they're so good.
I'm not sure about you, but you know, living alone, I like to cook. I just don't like to cook for myself. But when I do, I feel like, well, okay, now I gotta, you know, I'll cook and I'll have leftovers for a couple of days. But then you're like, all right, I don't like chili. I'll make a pot of chili and eat on that for a week. I'm fine with that. But then other things, it's like, you know, after a couple of days, I'm done with it. So here now, today's category, leftovers or throwing out leftovers. What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse? Leftovers or throwing out leftovers? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, get it today. It is free, takes less than a minute to download. Go to your app store on your Apple or Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media, it'll pop up. Just download it, and you're set to go. How about that? What's worse, leftovers or throwing out leftovers? Zombers, This is what I struggle with sometimes. I really do because I'll make it, and then after a couple of days, I'm like, well, not after, but maybe I'll make some chicken, and it'll be like 4 days, but it's been in the refrigerator, and I've eaten that for like 2 or 3 days,
right?
And like there's a couple of other pieces of chicken left. I don't really want to put it in the freezer, but I feel guilty about throwing it away.
Yeah. I agree. I think throwing away, yeah, it's tough. It depends what the leftovers are and how much you have.
Right.
Because again, if you're eating the same thing all week, that can get pretty old.
Right.
Especially when reheated in the microwave and then, you know, and then, chilled again and then reheated again.
Right. And then, of course, you know, you're flipping through channels and you see the ads for, you know, starving Ethiopian children.
Right.
And you think, well, I mean, they would love this. I mean, here I am. I'm a glutton. I've got, how lucky am I to have this surplus? And what, I'm going to throw this out in the garbage while there's kids starving across the world?
So, yeah, I think I got to say throwing out leftovers is worse. And also, not only that, but if you forget about something,
mm-hmm.
and you have it stuck in the back of the fridge, and it
gets moldy, and then you gotta throw it out.
You gotta throw it out, and that also sucks. It's like, okay, do I even open this to check if it's moldy, or do I just assume and throw the whole container out? No, you gotta throw out the whole container at that point.
Matt in Middleton on the text line, WMDX, says, throwing out leftovers is worse. I hate wasting food and feel foolish for making too much. And he goes on to say, leftover food is toxic. Well, I mean, yes. I mean, if you let it go too far, it certainly can be, right? What else we have here? Matt, I guess. That was something else. Kurt in Madison says on WMDX, I always feel guilty and disgusted with myself when I have to throw away leftovers.
He's also called in.
Oh, very. Kurt's on the line. 855-752-4842. Kurt, I guess we kind of already gave it away, but leftovers or throwing out leftovers? What's worse?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Called it. One of the things I do, because you're right, there's only two of us in our house. It's very difficult to cook for one, even two people. So what I typically do is I make sure I have a good network of friends in the neighborhood.
Oh.
And the minute I have something in excess, like chili,
yep.
I sent out group text saying, chili available. Now I'm a very good cook, so people usually take me up.
I love it. That's
out of the rut of throwing stuff away.
Now, see, I had a big bag of curd yesterday. I wasn't going to eat all that myself, so I brought it into the office, and people devoured it because it's fantastic.
It was delicious.
From Carr Valley, fresh cheese curd. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Dick in Madison. Dick, 30 seconds. Leftovers or throwing out leftovers? What's worse?
Well, throwing out, because in my case, they usually are science fair projects by the time they throw them out.
You're saying you're not the best cook? Is that it?
Just that they're old and get moldy?
I tend to bury stuff in the refrigerator and I forget about it.
Like a fossil. I get it. Stay tuned. Back to wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere on the All Ball Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're in tune with. Check of weather with our great weather team, Mike Clemens. Who is better at sports than Mike Clemens? Answer, nobody. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, will be in with a sports update talking about the Brewers. Zomers went down and tried to help him out last night. Didn't work out too well. But they're back on track today, the Brewers are. You can listen to them across the Civic Media Network starting at 6:05 for the pregame show in the old RC hometown of Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward over the air. Starting at 6:05, Brewers against the Detroit Tigers. And then, of course, after the sports update, Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. Following us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and later on, Pete Schwabba at 6 o'clock, 6 until 8, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Asking the important question of the day, what's worse, leftovers or throwing out leftovers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off the text line here, Steve, listening on the great station, WGBW, up in Green. By the way, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich is going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm very, very excited about this. So we'll be talking to Mayor Genrich tomorrow, who is there in Green Bay. But Steve in Green Bay says the only way I'm throwing out leftovers is if they're moldy. And here's something I learned from the great master cheesemaker Sid Cook at Carr Valley Cheese. That if you get like a block of cheese and there's a little bit of mold on one end or a corner, just cut that little part off. The rest of it's fine.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't mean that mold is part of a natural enzyme or whatever. And if the mold's all the way through the block or whatever, then that's one thing. But if because what happens is that if we open a block of cheese and cut it and we touch it with our fingers, the natural, whatever you want to call it, bacteria on our fingers, if our hands aren't just freshly washed, that goes on the cheese. That's what grows the mold.
And news so you can use.
Yeah, so you just cut that little piece off. The rest of the cheese is fine. And listening in Chippewa Falls and WAUK, throwing out leftovers instead is worse. John, listening on WISS and Oshkosh, throwing away leftovers is way worse. We eat them for a day, then freeze them. A lot of things are better left over anyway. Agree with that, John. I particularly like chili on day number two. I think we already did Matt in Middleton. What else we got here? DJ in the Saw in Wausau, listening on WXCO, says throwing out leftovers is way worse. I hate wasting food. If my wife brings something home and is uneaten after 24 hours, it's mine. Seeing people literally starving in other places scared me for life. So how about that? That's a good one. Dave in New Berlin, throwing out leftovers is worse. Not only does it keep the grocery bill down, but as you just said, there are people going hungry. Yeah, I totally. Len in Madison on WMDX, don't throw out leftovers. Deposit them in your pass-through account. Okay, very good. Listener in Maguanago. I love saying that. In W listing on WAUK in Maguanago, by 4 days, your food is forming toxins. Throw it out. Well, okay. Maybe on everything, though? I don't know. Maybe. Diane in Madison on MDX, food is so expensive. Cook what you will eat and try not to waste. And finally, Tom out in LA, Tom in Los Angeles, throwing out leftovers is worst and wasteful. Oh, I'm sorry. Dick in Madison, I apologize. I was going to go through all the texts and I was going to finish up, let Dick have the last word.
Well, we did have his call already last segment.
Oh, all right.
Also,
see, I got it's the mad cow.
Eric Genrich is actually joining us on Thursday, not tomorrow.
Oh, really? All right. Well, speaking of mad cow, I can't remember. This is why I surround myself with people younger than myself. But he will be here Thursday.
Yes.
Tomorrow we've got Trigvi Olsen, and then we've got the folks from a new group here in Wisconsin getting fusion voting going. Former Democratic Sheriff of Dane County, Dave Mahoney, and my former boss, Dale Schultz, a Republican, and Chris Andrews, the executive director, all are going to be here talking about fusion voting. And I believe Trigvi Olsen may grace us with his presence as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. Great show tomorrow. Great show today, Zomers. Did you already say what you thought was worse? Leftovers or throwing out leftovers?
Yeah, I got to agree with the crowd on this one that throwing out leftovers is worse just because it's wasteful and can also be disgusting if you've accidentally left them in the back of the fridge.
Yeah, we're in agreement on this one. I would say throwing out leftovers is worse. Just the guilt for me. And also, I don't know. I think because I really don't mind leftovers unless it's really like, I don't know. But see, chili, I literally can eat chili every day for 4 days and be fine with that.
Well, yeah, especially because as it sits for another day in the fridge, I feel like the flavors get more intense.
Yeah, totally agree with that. So, all right, throwing out leftovers, that's what's worse. Join us tomorrow for another exciting edition of What's Worse. Great show, fun show today, Zomers. I thought that was great. Pat Kreitlow, always fantastic to have him on. And then you got TJ's Samanchin, and we get to talk coffee. I mean, I hate to quote Jim Harbaugh, former coach of Michigan, and now with the whatever they're called, the Raiders out in the desert. But I mean, he likes to say, you know, what is it? Who has it better than us? And then he says, nobody. I mean, come on. Who has it better than us? We get to come on the air and talk to people about coffee and life and listen. I mean, who has it better than us? Nobody.
I look forward to the next time you get to have a nice in-depth coffee discussion with somebody because that's very interesting. I, and obviously several of the listeners who commented, really enjoy hearing about that.
I think it's fun, and we want to do more of this as we move forward, talk to other business owners. Many thanks to Main Street Alliance as well for helping us set TJ up, and our very own Mr. Luke Mathers as well. Fun show today. Glad to have you all along. Stay tuned for Mankey Dawn next. Todd Lobo saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll live to fight another day. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day. Make it a good one.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.